Last night, and just so you guys know, all the children and young people are staying in the sanctuary today. It is First Sunday. Last night, late, the praise team was rehearsing and practicing, and I got a request from the praise team. They knew that it was last minute, but they wanted to sing that song. I am so glad I listened to the Holy Spirit. I am so glad. And so today I can say here as we come together, grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
amen.
What a wonderful day it is to be here as we continue our message series called The Life of Significance. Today we're going to be looking at the commander. The commander. I've been on a C phase lately. If you would please, all over the sanctuary, if you have the Word of God, whether in printed or digital format, please hold it up over your heads. The Word of God. Amen. Please turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5 in verses 13 through 15 is where we will spend our time today. You know, we've been in this series for some time now, and we are going to remain in the book of Joshua for the balance of this year, being all about the significant life. Now, the interesting thing is that while we will be in this book for the balance of the year, next week is Palm Sunday. The following week is Easter. 2 weeks after that, we are going to license some new preachers. Amen?
Amen.
And we're going to have a joint service for that. So on April 30th, when we're going to have a joint service, the Anglo and the Hispanic congregations, we're going to license two new preachers, Brother Ivan and Brother Divine. And we are also going to ordain a new deacon from the Hispanic ministry. What exciting times that they are. Amen?
Amen?
And then sometime in the month or 6 weeks after that, we will ordain a brand new man of God that will come from the Hispanic side at this particular time. And we'll give you more information on that. You know, for most Christians, we live as if Jesus Christ just showed up in the New Testament. But the Jesus Christ of the New Testament is also the Jesus Christ of the Old Testament.
Amen.
The Word of God says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can always count on Jesus. And yes, Jesus does appear in the Old Testament, and the appearances of Christ in the Old Testament are known as Christophanies. Can you say that after me? Say Christophanies. Now you know that Jesus doesn't just show up in the New Testament. For instance, in Genesis chapter 14, we see the encounter between Abraham and the priest Melchizedek. And the book of Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 10 calls Jesus Christ Melchizedek. It references Melchizedek in the same instance. Another example is Daniel chapter 3 and the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had been commanded by Nebuchadnezzar to bow down before him and to bow down before his idols. And they said to him, O king, may you live forever. In other words, they were saying, we are part and parcel, and we realize that we're under the jurisdiction of this particular government. We honor you, may you live forever, but we will not bow down to your idol. And whether our God can save us or not, we know that He is mighty to save. But whether that happens or not, we will not bow down. And therefore, they were thrown into the fiery furnace. And after a while, when they looked in the fiery furnace, as they're marching around in there singing praises to God, there's someone else marching with him, a fourth man. And Nebuchadnezzar says, who is that man? And the world today asks the same question. Amen? Who is this man, Jesus Christ? Who is this man? In John chapter 12, verse 41, we understand that the Lord on the throne, which we just sang, the song we sang this morning about the book of Revelation, references Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the throne room was filled with His glory. And the angels, the seraphim, stood three on either side and cried out, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. But in John chapter 12, verse 41, Christ references that passage and tells the assembled Sanhedrin, that was me. That is me in the book of John. Pardon me, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6. And we will see today, in today's passage, we will see another Christophany as well. Now, I'm going to do something unusual that we do very seldom here at Living Hope Baptist Church. For this particular passage, I'm going to ask that you stand in honor for the reading of God's Word. All of the sanctuary, if you would please, stand in honor of the reading of God's Word. If you are at Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, will you please say, Amen.
Amen.
And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked. And behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, Are you for us or for our adversaries? So he said, No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said, What does my Lord say to his servant? Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Heavenly Father, I ask that the teacher today would speak without the slightest possibility of error in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, please take your seats. So let's set the scene. The people of God have crossed the Jordan River. They've consecrated themselves, as we learned the last couple of weeks, by reinstituting the Passover. They've gone through the circumcision. And so now they are encamped there, and their enemy is in Jericho behind its walls. Setting the scene, Joshua, like any good commander, is scouting the coming battlefield and locations of Jericho. He's out scouting the battlefield. I served in the United States Army as a United States Army Ranger. I was selected for the first Delta team our country ever had. I got out of the Army because I had some hearing issues. You guys know that. Say amen.
Amen.
So you know that wasn't a sham. But one of the things that we did as United States Army Rangers, as Special Ops, as the Delta Force kind of guys, is our job was to go and recon, to scout out the enemy. It's been said that if my Ranger team, I was the team leader, if my Ranger team was not surrounded, outnumbered, and cut off, we were in the wrong place. And that's where we are here. Joshua and the people of God have now come into the promised land, but it belongs to the enemy, and Joshua is out scouting. Now make no bones about this. This is a fortress that they're looking at, with walls so wide that chariots could ride side by side. Four horse chariots. Four horses and then another four horse chariot side by side could ride along the top of the walls of Jericho. Jericho was also one of the oldest known inhabited cities on the face of the earth. It was a city of antiquity. But not only was it a great city of antiquity, it was as well a city of great iniquity. It was a sinful and dark place. It was godless. It was wicked. In every sense of the word, it was an impregnable, evil, dark place where Satan reigned supreme. Now listen closely to me. In each of our lives, depending upon the level, Satan has placed a Jericho, a barrier in your life. We all have one. Every person has that Jericho in their lives. What do I mean? Well, there's a Jericho that stands between us. There's a Jericho that stands between you and the dreams of your youth. There's a Jericho that stands between you and fulfilling the things God has planned for you if you allow it to do so. There's a Jericho that stands between us and the will of the Lord, because Satan never gives up. He never admits defeat. He's been defeated every single place along in Scripture, and yet he still keeps coming. And the only thing that we have to battle against him is, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord. And when you come to your Jericho, when you're battling those things in your life that may be that giant dark fortress that invades into your personal space, go to the Word of the Lord. Go to the Word of God. So may I ask, this is a rhetorical question, don't start shouting these things out. What is the dark fortress in your life? What is the Jericho in each of your lives? Matter of fact, do you know what your Jericho is, or have you buried it deep in your heart? So deep that you can't even bring it before the Lord. Are there times when you have to pray, Father, forgive me the sins and even those I have buried away in the secret places in my heart? Those places of Jericho in my life. What is your Jericho? Now, Jericho doesn't just have to be sinful things. It could be other things that are barriers. It could be an unhealthy body or possibly an unhappy marriage. Could it be a secret unholy lifestyle? Perhaps your Jericho is old age. I know there's none of us in here that fall within that realm. A lack of education could be your Jericho. Friends, there seems to be a Jericho in each and every life of the believer of the Lord Jesus Christ. Something that in our own power we simply cannot overcome apart from the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, apart from the will of God, apart from the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Call upon His name. He will do great and mighty things in your life. When you are weak, He is strong. When you are blinded by things, He sees clearly. He is the Lord thy God, and He will redeem you. What does He say in the book of Isaiah chapter 43? Behold, I have called you by name, for you are mine. When you go through the fire, I am with you. When you pass through the floods, behold, I am there. I have redeemed you by name. And Christ, when He went to the cross, redeemed each and every one of us by name. So whatever it is, this Jericho is keeping you from the life that God has planned for you. But there is good news today. Because you have an amazing weapon against your Jericho. What Satan meant for evil, God will use for good. Would you like to know what your weapon is? Would you like to know what the secret weapon against your Jericho is? Well, it's the same weapon that Joshua uses to bring down the walls of Jericho. If you'll look on the screen, you'll see a passage. It's from the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 30. How do I know this? I'm so glad you asked. Look what God says right here in Hebrews. By what?
Faith.
The walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Listen, friends, what does Hebrews say? What does the book of Hebrews say in chapter 11, verse 1? It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen? In other words, in the book of Hebrews, continuing on, it says, by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. It says, by faith, Enoch walked with the Lord and was taken away from this earth. It says, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called away from his land into the new location. By faith, Sarai herself also received strength to conceive. Faith. But where does a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ receive this faith? Where do we get that faith to do these great things? Well, once again, I am so glad you asked. If you look on your screens, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For you hear me say this all the time. For by grace you have been saved through church.
Faith.
And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of
God.
By faith you have been saved through grace. And it's by faith that you can live the significant life. You don't have to be an old defeated Christian. You don't have to be beat down by your disease. You don't have to be beat down by your infirmities. You don't have to be beat down by your weaknesses. You can call upon the name of the Lord. Listen to me, friends. What is this all about? When God has a gigantic task, when God has a big job, when God has great and mighty things for you to do, He gives faith the contract. You want to do great and mighty things? Be a man and a woman of faith. You want God to step in and change your children who are being rebellious? Do great and mighty things? Be a person of faith. Young people, do you want, if you're here, if you're watching on the internet, and you're in church, and your mother, your father is not there, you want to be a person of God? Give that to the Lord. Say, Lord, by faith, I know you can send the Holy Spirit to talk to my mother. By faith, I know you can send the Holy Spirit to talk to my father. By faith, I know you can send the Holy Spirit to talk to my husband. By faith, you can do great and mighty things. You see, he gives faith the contract. It's faith, friends, that links our weakness to God's mightiness. I'm going to say that again. That was too good to pass up. By faith, friends, faith is what makes the difference. He gives faith the contract. And by the way, friends, that difference that faith makes comes in a person. It comes in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. I have 3 points today that we will cover quickly. First, write in your books, young people, if you got your pencil, write in your books. I'm going to be looking at all you young people's notes today. And all the young people said, amen. Amen. I see. All right. I see. They're waving at me now. Back to the book of Joshua, chapter 5, verse 13. The first point, we see the commander. We say, wait a minute, Pastor. That's the first point. That's the title of the sermon. Don't ever forget that first, last, and always, Jesus Christ is the commander. He is our commander in chief. Look at verse 13, if you will, in your Bibles. If you dare, say amen. Amen. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. Listen, very wisely, like any good commander, Joshua is looking closely at his seemingly insurmountable problem. There is Jericho right there. There is Jericho with a battle-hardened, evil, vicious Canaanite army. That Canaanite army is worried behind their walls, but they're ready to fight. Don't make any mistake about that. They stand ready to fight the people of God. And here is Joshua with no fortress and an army, wait for it, this is one of those life's awkward moments, an army of freshly circumcised men. Who do you suppose in that army is ready to fight? You ever wonder why did God have them just walk around the walls? I submit to you, that's about all they were capable of doing. Amen? Amen. Yeah, got quiet in here for a second. You see, that's what Joshua has. There's an army ready to fight, fully healthy, fully ready to go, and he doesn't have that army. And just as Joshua was surveying his problem, perhaps thinking to himself, thank you, Lord, for this army. Thank you, Lord. When was the last time you took a look at your problems and made an honest assessment? Have you looked at your problem and made an honest assessment of what's going on in your life before the Lord? Have you taken a survey of your Jericho? Because in the middle of Joshua making his plans, suddenly someone else is there. He looks and there the man is. Joshua turns and sees a man with a drawn sword in his hand. Now watch this. This is so good. Joshua was a man of God. Amen? Joshua stood strong in the Lord. Joshua was the one that many, many years before said, hey, the Lord has given us that land. Let's go in there and take it. And everybody else was afraid. So this man of God, what does he do? Watch what this man of God does. Joshua turns and sees a man standing there. And instead of running away, instead of calling for his armed guard, Joshua walks right up to him and asks a direct, important question. Look at it here. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? This is a reasonable question. Amen? First off, Joshua is unafraid, it appears at the moment, but he recognizes something in this person. And so Joshua says, are you for us or for our adversaries? Now listen to the strange answer he gets. This is strange. The question is, remember the question. The question is, are you for us or are you with our adversaries? Verse 14. So he, what do you notice about the word he there, church? All caps. That's the Lord we got right there. So he said, no. Are you for us or are you for our adversaries? No. What kind of answer is that? Amen? I mean, really, I would be going, huh? That's not what I asked. This requires you to say you're for me or you're for someone else. I ask, are you for us or are you against us? What is the meaning here? In other words, what the man is saying, neither. Who is this man for? Continuing to read verse 14. If you're there, please say amen. No, but as commander of the army of the Lord. What do you know about the word commander? Capitals. I have now come. No, but as the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. Guys, who is this man? And what's he saying? You ready? This is so good. This commander is saying, I'm not for you, and I'm not for them. I haven't come to take sides. I have come to take over. Amen. I have not come to take sides. I have come to take over. Listen to me, church. We are not looking for Jesus to take our side. We are looking for Jesus to take over. Amen. I'm not looking for Him to take sides in churches. I'm looking for Him to take over in the name of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In my life, I'm not looking for Him to take my side. I'm looking for Him to take over in my life. I want it to be all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, there is no one other than Jesus Christ who, with a drawn sword, who hasn't come to take sides, but to take over. That's who that is. Now, I'll explain how we know that that's Jesus in just a moment. But first, listen to me, friends. If you want victory in your life, say amen.
Amen.
Stop trying to get God on your side. Stop that. Stop saying, God, give me what I want. Or, God, don't give me what I don't want. Don't do that, friends. Instead, get yourself on God's side. Find where God is working and join Him. Find where God is doing great and mighty things and jump into the middle of the battle. Because when you do that, the battle is the Lord's. Amen?
Amen?
See, you will never know faith. You will never know victory. And your Jericho will never, never, never fall until you do exactly what Joshua has done here. Acknowledge the commander of the army of the Lord. Lay your sword down. Bow at His feet and give it all to Him. Look at verse 15 again, 14 again. And Joshua, verse 14. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped. He fell on his face and worshipped. He fell down. He laid down his sword. See, when you do that, when you lay it all at the feet of Jesus, Jericho is no longer your problem. You see, that problem, that's not my problem anymore. That's God's problem. I don't have to worry about that no more. The Lord's got that. The Lord's got my back. You see, that's what makes the difference, is when you can turn things over to the one who has come to take over. You know, sometimes we read all these good things and we say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, become the commander of my life, and yet we have these areas of our life that we want to be in charge of. We don't want to give that to the Lord. We want to have that control over life. I want no control in my life. I've surrendered my heart and my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I praise the Lord Himself that He's given me a wife that understands. That I am frankly embarrassing when it comes to Jesus. You walk outside at our home, when I walk outside, all the neighbors disappear because they know I'm inviting them to church. Sometimes I just bring them some of her cookies or something just to horn my way in. If they see me with cookies, they're willing to listen for just a moment. Just for some of Miss Ruth Ann's cookies. Amen? And the children said what? Amen. Absolutely. So when we turn it over, it's no longer our problem. It now becomes God's problem. Listen, Joshua, in this scripture, Joshua's focus has changed. Joshua has been, wait for it, look closely, watch me. Joshua has been problem focused. And now he is God conscious. Don't be problem focused, friends. Be God conscious. How big is your God? Because if you think you have to take control, if you think that you have to do all of these things, listen, your God's not big enough. You serve a weak God. You serve a little God. But we serve a mighty God. Amen. I serve the God of heaven and earth. I serve the God of all creation. And so he is now God conscious. He's no longer thinking of why it can't be done, but that it is His will that this will be done. Amen. Let me put it in very simple terms. Before you can be more than a conqueror, your heart must first be completely conquered by the commander of the army of the Lord. Submit to His will. Have you given every... This is an opportunity for me to ask. Whether you're sitting here in the sanctuary or watching on the internet, have you given everything to Jesus Christ? Have you received Christ as Lord? Whatever your personal Jericho, I am certain that you have questions. But give it to the Lord's commander. Give it to the Lord. Look closely at the text. Something causes Joshua to recognize deity. Because something causes Joshua to fall down in worship. And notice this, my friends. Notice what doesn't happen. The commander does not tell Joshua to stop worshiping. That commander does not tell Joshua, don't do that. Listen to me, friends. That is so important because only God is worthy of worship. Angels are not to be worshipped. The apostles are not to be worshipped. The prophets are not to be worshipped. No human being, no celebrity, only God is worthy of your worship. Amen? Amen. Only God is worthy of your worship. Don't seek celebrities' advice. Seek the Word of God. Amen. Seek what God is saying. Amen? Only God is worthy of worship. Continuing now, Joshua steps out in faith because where Joshua was trying to solve his problems in his own power, in his own reasoning, he now asks in the final words of verse 14, look at this, this is so good. Have you ever done this when you're at the end of your rope? What does my Lord say to His servant? In other words, Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, here stand I. Command me. That's an amazing act of faith. That's an amazing act of submission. Joshua is saying, Lord, I don't want my will. I don't want my personality in this. I don't want people looking at me when I sing. I don't want people looking at me when I play the guitar. I don't want people looking at me when I play the keyboards. I don't want people looking at me when I greet folks. I don't want people looking at me when I'm worshiping in the sanctuary. Father, I want them to see You. Amen. I want to do Your will. It's not about me, Father. It's not about how wonderful I pray. It's the fact that I talk to You. It's not my prayers that have any power. It's You that has the power when I call upon Your great and mighty name. Because where Joshua had been trying to solve his own problems, he asked, Lord, what would You have me to do? Look, Joshua says pretty much, Thy will be done. Amen? Have you ever done that? Have you asked Jesus Christ, what would You have Your servant to do? What would You have Your servant to do? Our audio team has done that. Anybody that's received Jesus Christ has done that in their lives. Lord, what would You have me to do? So place your faith in Jesus. We're going to move along quickly now. Next we see not only the commander, we see the command. Look at verse 15. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy. Where have we ever read that before? Burning bush, amen? Yeah. Absolutely, in the book of Exodus. But look again, let's break that down. First we see who is talking, the commander of the armies of the Lord's army, Jesus Christ. Now listen to me, guys. This is important. Young people, look up here. Adults, look up here. This is not the baby Jesus. This is not the carpenter's son Jesus. This is not the teacher rabbi Jesus. This is not the gentle shepherd Jesus. This is the authoritative Jesus. This is King Jesus. This is God's son, and this is the commander of the army of the Lord. And He says, take off your sandals from your feet because where you are standing is holy ground. I love that song. I am standing on holy ground. Amen? I love that song. This is the one that commands 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of angels of God's heavenly host. If He set them loose, just one angel could lay waste to the entire planet. All Jesus would have to do was set them loose. And all He had to do from the cross of Calvary is just relax for a moment, not even call them, but just stop withholding them. And 10,000 angels would have burst out of the doors of heaven to take their Savior, to take their King Jesus off of that cross. Take that sandal off your foot, for the place you stand is holy. In other words, this place where you are right now is holy because I am here. You see, there are churches all over America this morning meeting. There are churches all over the world meeting. And the grounds upon which they meet is not holy because Jesus isn't there. Amen. He's not there. We want to be a church where the Lord shows up. Amen? Amen. We want to be a church that says, this place is holy because the Lord Jesus Christ is here. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He says, this place is holy because I'm here and because I am holy. That may be Jericho up there. That may be the children of Israel down there. But between you and your problem, I have set this place aside as holy. And we're addressing your problems, which, by the way, are no problem for me, here. This place is holy. I have a plan for you. So prepare yourself. Take off your human protection, set aside your human plans, and bow down before me because I am the Son of God. Friends, it just takes faith. But giving it to the Lord requires bowing down and acknowledging Him. We may think that we have insurmountable problems, amen? We may think we have unsolvable problems. But Genesis 18:14 reads, is anything too hard for God? What's the answer? No. Nothing is too hard for God. The answer is obviously no. See, you can count on God to have a plan. Throughout all of the Bible, God comes through for the faithful. He comes through. He has your back. Do I have any examples? I am so glad you asked. Just when her womb got too old for a baby, Sarai gets pregnant. Just when things look their worst, God gives Noah plans for a boat. Just when Daniel is surrounded by lions, God shuts their mouth and makes them drowsy. Amen? He also gives them lockjaw. The lesson, three simple words. When it comes to the Lord, don't give up. Don't give up. Is the road long? Don't stop. Is the night blacker than black? Don't quit. Because God is watching, friends. God is watching. He wants to see your faith in action. For all you know, at this very moment, the check may be in the mail. At this very moment, the job contract may be on your desk. The next chemotherapy could be the one. That could be the one that drives cancer back. That could be the one that drives the sickness back. Listen to me. Just trust that God has a plan, and whatever it is, be ready to take thy sandals off thine feet and bow down because this is holy ground. Amen. It's holy ground. Amen. Give the Lord praise in His house. One final point and we're done. One final point and we're done. The last sentence. I love this. This is Joshua's my kind of guy. And Joshua did so. Our third point is now see the compliance. We now see the compliance. We all love our compliant children, don't we, moms?
Amen.
Amen. I see some moms love it more than others. Joshua is asked a question in verse 14. He says, what does the Lord say to his servant? The Lord says, it begins and ends with me. It begins and ends with you taking off your human protection and regarding me as holy. And if you do that, then you will come to the place of submissive compliance. And Joshua did so. In other words, Joshua said, Lord, this is your holy ground. This is you talking. This is you commanding me, and I comply. I give it all to you, Lord. Listen, friends, this is the only true response for the faithful child of God. It's the only response we should ever have. Guys, when we have problems, the answer is not to stay away from church. It's not to stop going before the Lord. The answer is not to work harder. It's not to work more days of the week. What is the answer? The answer is to get along with God, pray, bow down, ask Him for help, and say, what would you have me to do, Lord, in your power?
Amen.
Then we listen to what the Lord says for us to do. You see, prayer is just as much about listening as it is about talking. Spend at least as much time listening to the Lord in your prayers as you do talking. The Lord wants to hear from us, but I want to hear from the Lord. And it's in those quiet times. Friends, I want to share something with you. It sounds simple, but maybe you never thought of it before. God responds to prayer that is your first response, not your last resort. I'm going to say that again. God responds to your prayers that are your first response, not your last resort. Take it to the Lord first. Making it simple, pray first, not after you've tried all your ideas. And by the way, when I say that, I'm right here. I'm Mr. Fixer. You know, it's in my type A personality to try to fix it instead of giving it to the Lord. Listen, now I know this all sounds like good advice. Amen. I truly do understand. Sitting here in God's house, everything feels like it makes sense. Everything lines up perfectly. We've had great praise and worship. We've had a great time of prayer. We've greeted the fellowship of the saints. We're about to have, after our service, we got pizza and all kinds of good stuff back there. How many slices do I get, Miss Ruthann? Two. I get two today. You got that, Miss Latima? I get two. I got two. Hot dogs. I got a choice? I'll go one and one. All right, listen, friends. I know. But when you leave here today, your problems, your Jericho will still be waiting for you. The difficulties will still be there. The cancer will still be there. The difficulties in school, your parents, your spouse will still be there. They're still waiting for you. But there is glorious news, my friends. Because while your problems may still be waiting for you, so is Jesus. Amen. So is Jesus. And He has been from the foundation of the world. The book of Hebrews says Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is there for you if you will simply receive Him as Lord. Just remember that Jesus made us a promise, friends, so long ago. I will come back. I will come back for you. Yes, the problems will remain. Yes, the rocks may tumble. Yes, the ground may shake. But the child of God never needs to be fearful. Because we have God's promise that He will send His Son, Jesus Christ, to get us. How do I know that? How do I know that? Because He lived. He died. He said in 3 days He'd arise. He did. And He's alive. And all the earth will sing His praises. And with that truth in our heart, I say now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible to God, who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Grace and peace from God the Father and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and all God's people said. Amen. With your head, every head bowed and every eye closed.
Thank you for joining us today. For more information, visit our website at www.lhcfl.com. Visit us on Facebook or get the ChurchLink app from the App Store. Again, thank you, and we hope to see you in service soon.
You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy.